Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 400, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. O my soul, Jehovah, praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. And what follows, Psalter 400, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 22, the verses 1 through 14. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 22, the first 14 verses. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for a son, and sent forth the servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, in thee we live, we move, and have our being. Then it has pleased thee to spare the congregation in this day, and by renewal we may be so privileged to come up to thy house, privileges which most of the people upon the earth do not have. Also in our country, many homes where there is no Bible, many who have never seen the inside of a church sanctuary, great multitudes that have spent this day as other days, great multitudes that have no purpose without thee, without thy word, who are so blind and so deaf, great multitudes who have religion, who have not the truth, deceived, hoping to go to heaven, and if they are not born again, then they shall come to a closed door. Also temporally, then we commend unto thee all the homeless, the destitute, those that are not loved, the hungry ones, many in institutions of mercy, many living in countries where there is war and civil unrest, and Lord, then how good thou art unto us and our children. And then thou still calleth, thou still inviteth. Oh, for us and our children, we shall go lost under such a precious word, under such a precious gospel. 'Tis written, shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day, for us and our children. Ah, Lord, to that end, wilt thou richly crown thy word in this evening hour. 'Tis written in thy word that by the foolishness of preaching that thou shalt save some. May we be given to ask for many, even for all. But, Lord, thou knowest it all together. We have heard out of thy holy word that many were bidden, and there were those that plainly would not come. Others were too busy with their excuses. Others have entreated thy servants spitefully. But then there were guests, and among those guests there was one who had not a wedding garment. Lord, we humbly beg of thee, wilt thou bless thy holy word for the conversion of sinners, young and old, and for the welfare of thy Zion. Bless thy word in thy church. Help the consistory to that end. And who is sufficient unto these things? Wilt thou continually Grant many a Aaron's and hers among young and old, that thou may be mindful of us and have a special favor. Do help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their dear children and the aforesaid doctrine, and do remember and bless our Christian school. Help bus drivers and students grant traveling mercies. We commend unto thee the school board, the administration, the instructors, and all the students. Well, to grant thy richest blessing when thy holy word may daily be opened with a calling upon thy holy name, O Lord. Do work from generation to generation, and so we commend thy church unto thee all over the earth, the established churches, our theological school, the instructors and the students, the persecuted church, the Jewish people, the beloved for the Father's sake, where there is such a bitter enmity against that people. Oh, may it be used to drive them out unto thee, and that their eyes and hearts may be opened for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We commend unto thee our mission field, the two established congregations, the mission post, the people in Peru. Wilt thou provide in all ways, and do help thy servant, the team, the family circles. Many a time the distance is experienced, but may they be given to experience that thou art an everywhere present God. Lord, we commend unto thee all the mourning, widowers, widows, half orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Oh, do continue to uphold them. Grant them a special place at thy footstool. We also commend unto thee a young widow with her two children in the United States of America, whose husband was assassinated. Oh, do uphold and remember, and may his death be used that many among young and old may be given to open the scriptures and search what is the truth, and not only concerning our temporal life, but may it be used richly for the saving of souls. Then we are given to behold that the bitter enmity, and that is also experienced in our country, no room for thee, for thy dear Son, for thy word, and for the truth, that we are approaching the end times, our Lord. To that end, may we and our children be given to hasten for our life's sake, oh, to find a hiding place. And, our Lord, when it comes to the test, then who shall stand? That is only possible by thee. So we commend unto thee our leaders federally, provincially. Remember the council of this town. Oh, work also lovingly and mightily by thy Spirit in our community, in the hearts of young and old. May it please thee to grant repentance, whereas a country we have departed so far from thy word. Many sins, much blood that arises into heaven, that calleth for thy vengeance. We commend unto thee all the elderly ones, our Bethesda, those that may lovingly care for them. Work also there by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. The infirmity shall only increase. Eternity is at hand. And then there is one thing that is needful. We commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted, those under the physician's care in special ways, those that stand in need of healing and strengthening. Do remember the handicapped daughter in the hospital. We remember those that struggle with weakness and difficulties of the mind, all the crosses and all the burdens. Do remember and bless the family circles. We commend unto the prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, we now humbly beg of thee for the opening of thy precious testimony. May it go forth with power divine. Bind the reality of life upon all of our hearts continually. Ah, Lord, do grant those profound impressions that each and every one of us must and shall die and appear before thee to give an account, a profound impression of that one thing needful, the works of free and sovereign grace, glorified in all of our hearts. May thy word then be blessed for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Do pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 367, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Let the king behold thy favor for thy servant David's sake, unto whom a sacred promise, sure and faithful, thou didst make. And what follows, Psalter 367, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 30, the question and answers 80 through 82. Question 80, what difference is there between the Lord's Supper and the Popish Mass? Answer, the Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have a full pardon of all our sin by the only sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself has once accomplished on the cross, and that we by the Holy Ghost are engrafted into Christ, who according to his human nature is now not on earth but in heaven, at the right hand of God his Father, and will there be worshipped by us. But the Mass teaches that the living and dead have not the pardon of sins through the sufferings of Christ, unless Christ is also daily offered for them by the priests, and further that Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, and therefore is to be worshipped in them, so that the Mass at bottom is nothing else than a denial of the one sacrifice and sufferings of Jesus Christ, and an accursed idolatry. Question 81, for whom is the Lord's Supper instituted? Answer, for those who were truly sorrowful for their sins, and yet trust that these are forgiven them for the sake of Christ, and that their remaining infirmities are covered by his passion and death, and who also earnestly desire to have their faith more and more strengthened and their lives more holy. But hypocrites and such as turn not to God with sincere hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Question 82, are they also to be admitted to this supper, who by confession and life declare themselves unbelieving and ungodly? Answer, no, for by this the covenant of God would be profaned and his wrath kindled against the whole congregation. Therefore, it is the duty of the Christian Church, according to the appointment of Christ and his apostles, to exclude such persons by the keys of the kingdom of heaven till they show amendment of life. A Lord's Day 30 speaks of the holy table of the Lord's Supper. Three thoughts. First, the blasphemous heir. Secondly, the invited guests. And in the third place, the necessary watch. The holy table of the Lord's Supper, the blasphemous heir in number 80, the invited guests 81, and the necessary watch in 82. A beloved congregation, a question and answer number 80, and that was not in the original, the first edition of Zacharias Olivianus, Zacharias Ursinus, and Caspar Olivianus. But that has been added on the insistence of Frederick III in the second edition, and then in the third edition, which was a German edition, and then the last clause was added. Because in December of 1563, then the Council of Trent has come to an end, and then the Roman Church is very strongly condemned, and not only the doctrine, but also the persons of the Protestant faith, which did not agree with transubstantiation and everything they're connected therewith. And therefore, Frederick III, with a holy zeal, with an eye upon the honor of his king, and then in the third edition, and that clause, because as a general rule, then our Heidelberg Catechism is very gentle, but in number 80, then Frederick III has made a very strong statement where we read that the Mass at bottom is nothing else but a denial of the one sacrifice and sufferings of Jesus Christ and an accursed idolatry. When we consider the errors that have crept into the churches, and that has happened oftentimes, then as a general rule, then those errors, they creep in slowly, and then one error that breeds another. And so it has been in the Roman Catholic Church. And now in our Heidelberg Catechism, when in question and answer, the error of the Popish Mass is clearly laid out, then we and our children do well to consider and to examine what we really believe concerning the truth and concerning the sacraments. Is that sometime or oftentimes a question in our mind and in our heart? What do I now really believe concerning the Word of God written from Genesis to the end of Revelation? Do I really believe I am a sinner lying under the wrath of God, traveling to a never-ending eternity, and before this Sabbath day is over, that I can be in eternity? Oh, do we believe it? Not for our neighbor, I am asking, but do we believe it for ourselves? And that has that become real in our life, and that we have become a poor and a true seeker with profound impressions that our sins need to be pardoned? Because also concerning the Popish Mass, it is a blasphemous and blatant error, but it concerns the pardoning of sins. Also, the Roman Catholics, they had an impression thereof. And now the instructors, when they speak of this great heir of the Roman Catholic Church, then by renewal, it is 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, as with Paul, that he determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then the instructors have used this opportunity in the way of comparison to declare the riches of the gospel as they are in Jesus Christ. And now concerning the popish mass, then we need to make a separation between the popish mass proper and communion, because in the popish mass, then it was only the priest with dramatic actions portraying much of the life of Christ, and then the congregation, then the attenders, then they were onlookers, then they were spectators. And now at a certain point, when the priest would pronounce special words, then it was told the priest, when he was ordained, that he had received power to change the bread and the wine into the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And upon that action, then the bread and the wine, he had a wafer, then it need to be adored and worshipped. And then, because in a Roman Catholic Church, then the center is not the pulpit, but that the center is the altar. And then upon that altar, the priest, then he would offer, then he would sacrifice the bread and the wine, because it had turned into Christ. Thus, that means that Christ was crucified by renewal. And then after that has taken place, then the congregation would come forward, and on their knees they would worship Christ, and they would receive until 1962 only the bread, and after 1962 also the wine. And now the instructors, they are given to declare, because there is a day and night difference between the Mass and the Lord's Supper. Then in the first place, we do not read of the Mass in the Scriptures, but we read clearly in three Gospels, and also in 1 Corinthians 11, the institution of the Lord's Supper. And then in the second place, in the Old Testament, then there was the priesthood, and they were called to sacrifice the animals. It was the ceremonial law. But with the New Testament, John the Baptist, the priest, was beheaded, also prophet. And with the death of Christ, then the veil of the temple was rent, declaring that Christ has brought a perfect sacrifice. Then in the third place, then there is the difference. In the Old Testament, there indeed was an altar, but it all pointed to Christ. But in the New Testament, there is no more an altar. And then in the fourth place, then the Roman Catholic Church declares that it is more or less automatic. They do not speak of the necessity of the true saving faith wrought by the Holy Spirit in the heart of the communicants. Thus then we see already in those 4 points that there is a day and night difference. And further, the Mass, That is the main ceremony, religious ceremony, that fills the coffers of the Roman Catholic Church. When a church becomes false, then money that receives more and more a greater and a central place, so it was in the Roman Catholic Church, undoubtedly. There have been in that church, when they have considered, when they have heard the Protestants explain it, the errors, the blasphemy of the Mass, that undoubtedly there were those that had to agree that the Protestants were correct. But then it is very well possible, because they read in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, that the love of money is the root of all evil. And to that end, the Roman Catholic Church, oh, it is true, all so much ignorance, but money has become played a major part in the Roman Catholic Church and in many other churches. And now the instructors, when they are given to declare the difference, then they are given to declare the glorious gospel. And then they have mentioned different points. Oh, the Mass declares that each time by renewal, when the Mass is said, that Christ is crucified by renewal, then even our boys and girls can understand it, that it cannot be, that it is foolish, that it is nothing but a mockery. But the Lord's Supper declares so richly and so beautifully that Christ, that he has brought about, oh, that broken bread and that poured out wine, Christ is cried out, it is finished, and nothing needs be, nothing shall, and nothing shall be added to the same. And then they have worded it thus. The Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have a full pardon of all sin by the only sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself has once offered. Thus the instructors declared that Christ has offered that sacrifice on the cross, accomplished on the cross. And further, each time by renewal, the instructors, they stress the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit concerning the means of grace, that is the preaching and the administration of the sacrament, and that we by the Holy Ghost are engrafted into Christ, who according to his human nature is now not in earth. They are repeating what we have heard in Lord's Day 29, but in heaven at the right hand of God his Father, and will there be worshipped by us. But the Mass teaches that the living and dead, thus the Roman Catholic Church has a Mass for the dead, for the living, and even for the dead, have not the pardon of sins through the sufferings of Christ, unless Christ is also daily offered for them by the priests. And further, that Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, we have heard thereof the last Lord's Day, and therefore is to be worshipped in them. And then finally the conclusion, so that the Mass at bottom is nothing else but a denial of the one sacrifice and sufferings of Jesus Christ and an accursed idolatry. The heir of the Roman Catholic Church speaks of reconciliation and of pardon. How is it with our masses? And maybe the children will say, but we are not Roman Catholic. Do you know what Martin Luther has said? And that is after he had been on the way many years. He said, if you now cut the heart of Martin Luther open, then you shall find a pope. Are there souls that understand it? Masses, matters, experiences that we trust in, and all in the place of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a people that understands it more in the way of reflection than at the moment. That when the Lord works, then we are so busy, as we read in that parable in Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46, gathering those goodly pearls. And it is true, they are goodly pearls. They cannot be found in the world, congregation. But then it is the work of the Spirit to teach a sinner, uncover deeper, strip him of all his masses, and then that way they are given to learn the preciousness of that little word, grace, that they need the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to the heart by the work of the Holy Spirit. Our second thought, the invited guests. For whom is the Lord's Supper instituted? And then the instructors, they are given to mention three matters. First, for those who were truly sorrowful for their sins. And that is a true sorrow that is wrought by the Spirit, and that goes not in the first place about the consequences and about the punishment, but that goes about the character of sin. That I have sinned against such a good doing and such a just God. A God that cannot overlook one of my sins. A God that is so long-suffering and so patient. And a God who I have transgressed all the commandments of the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 13, I found trouble and sorrow. And when that takes place, we read in Jeremiah that they shall come with weeping and supplication. And in the Beatitudes, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And when that takes place, when we truly learn the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and that it causes separation from a God whom we have learned to love in all his attributes, then it shall be seen in our life, and then there shall be a hating and fleeing of sin, as we read in Lord's Day number 33. Thus that is more than impressions, convictions, and emotions. we read of different people in the Scriptures where they have also said and confessed, I have sinned, and yet it was not the true work of the Lord. Pharaoh, under the plagues, two times we read in the Scriptures that he has said, I have sinned. Achan, when he was found out with what he has stolen from Jericho, has said, I have sinned. Of Balaam in the wilderness when the angel has stopped, I have sinned. King Saul, three times he has expressed, and those words have come over his mouth, I have sinned. Judas has spoken the same words, and yet it is clear that it was not the work of grace. More words of fear of the consequences, but it was not words that were spoken on account of that love shed abroad in the heart. Because in the true work of the Lord, on account of that love, then there comes that godly sorrow. And I read in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 that it is a godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. Thus that is the first point. And our instructors, they have worded it thus, for those who have been truly sorrowful for their sins. Is that what the instructors have written? No. They have not written that there has been a time of convictions and that sorrowful, but now we have become happy Christians and they have that sorrow no more. That is not what they have written. For those who are truly sorrowful for their sins, thus then the instructors have stated, according to God's word, read the Psalms. Read Psalm 25 when David was given to say, sins if youth remember not, it was with a confession of sin, thus it is a continual work. And yet, only the first point, that is too short to attend the holy table of the supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the instructors, they have added, and yet trust that these are forgiven them for the sake of Christ. That speaks of true saving faith. We hear it every Lord's Day evening, the 12 articles, that there are different matters and different objects to believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator, Maker of heaven and of earth. And when the Lord begins in the heart of a sinner, then God becomes real. A God that we learn to love. A God that we learn to trust. It is a God that provides, protects, and cares. But that is in separation from the second article, I believe in Jesus Christ. Think of the disciples. In John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Thus then the instructors are given to speak of a revealed knowledge of the Son of God and his necessity in its suitability and its preciousness. And now for those truth-seeking souls that are burdened with their debt and that learn all their masses that they cannot satisfy justice, then what a struggle that can be concerning this second point. What is now a knowledge of the mediator to grant a divine right to attend the Lord's Supper? And now concerning the instructors by renewal, they have worded it very carefully, and yet trust, they have not stated the strength of that trust, but it is the truth of that trust. And now to trust that these are forgiven them for the sake of Christ, that implies that there has come a knowledge of a revealed mediator between God and man, and that concerns when the Lord begins, then such a soul comes under the prophetical ministry of Jesus Christ, and they may sit at his feet with great delight. Does not mean they have a knowledge of the person, but they have a knowledge of the teaching, and then they like to be told the truth, to be uncovered for those truth seekers. Then oftentimes they are given to ask, Lord, if it is still wrong, if thou hast never begun, if I have now begun with thee, wilt thou then begin by thy free and sovereign grace? And Lord, I need the pardoning of my sins. They are manifold and they are increasing daily. And that is for a people that have experience to say it so with all their masses, that they still stand as a guilty and a hell-worthy sinner before divine justice. And then the wonder when the gospel may be opened. Oh, think of the disciples in John 1, those two disciples. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And then when that may take place, then the exercises become that they may hear of the preciousness of him, who was white and ruddy, because they have experienced that their masses, in the beginning they hoped that they would become whiter and whiter, but they experienced that they are so black, and with all their masses that they cannot satisfy justice. But now the bride is given to declare to those daughters of Jerusalem that he is white and ruddy and the chiefest among 10,000s. Thus yet trust, thus that includes a refuge taken faith. Think of that woman with the issue of blood. Simply stated, she has heard of Jesus. And then her exercises have become different, but with that hearing of Jesus, when her thought, she imagined what it'd be when she would be perfectly healed. But how did she now go through that crowd in the way of a refuge taken faith? If she may only touch the hem of his garment, she shall be perfectly healed. And then in the third place, and a further mark. Not a rich Christendom, they are rich in Christ. But in themselves, those instructors, they were on the right school. And that their remaining infirmities, what a sorrow that also gives. Their remaining infirmities, they are not what they ought to be, not what they wish to be. That flesh is never converted, but even their remaining infirmities are covered by his passion and death. And thirdly, and who also earnestly desire to have their faith more and more strengthened. Because for the true child, then that faith has many assaults. It's the waves of the ocean, the one time up, the other time down. But a desire for those souls, then that unbelief becomes such a sin and such a burden. They are given to us, Lord, may I now be and remain as a little child, simply to trust in thee. And further, that is the gratitude. And these three matters, they are continually experienced in the life of the true church, and their lives more and more holy. And then there is added, but hypocrites. There is a difference between deceit and to be a hypocrite. We can be deceived under false teachers, deceived when the devil comes as an angel of light, because the devil also knows the Bible, and he can come with texts. But now a hypocrite, that is one that comes from a Greek word to wear a mask. That is, as it were, a pretender. And now the true church, they can be much exercised with that people. Because, they learn what lives in their heart. And the true child of God, they cannot travel to eternity with a maybe. Can be certain matters, perhaps in the time, that we can go on a maybe, hoping for the best, but that cannot be for eternity. Because we have read out of Matthew 22 the parable of a wedding feast, oh, young and old. Then the servants have went out, and they have invited everyone. Everyone that they met is invited. Boys and girls, young people and older ones. Then the Lord calls to us by his providence, but especially by his word. Then it is declared that there is a rich Savior that can save to the uttermost, no sinner too black, no sinner too vile. And for those sinners that may come with a burden of debt, think of John 6, verse 37, all that the Father hath given me will come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. But then we have heard it. There were some that would not come. Is that your picture, congregation? That's an awful thing to tell the Lord. Lord, not interested. I rather serve the world than thee. And actually saying, rather go to hell than to heaven. Oh, how deeply we have fallen. There were others that were not so blunt, more reformed. We also have the parable in Luke 14 And then they have made excuses. They were just too busy another time when there shall be a convenient season. Is that your picture, congregation? Too busy. And we live in a busy world. But Christ has exhorted in Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto it." Thus too busy and no time. Are we many times bothered with those things? So privileged, so blessed. Law and gospel may be proclaimed. The Lord calls. The Lord invites. And her time, this day, mention it again. Something to think about. The last day of summer, and much has taken place in the summer months. We have been on the cemetery to bury the young, the very young. Many have been sick. And also when we are sick, we can now tell the Lord, "Lord, I am too busy to be sick." No questions asked. Thus many have made excuses, and others, they have even treated those servants spitefully. They have slain them, but they have not come. And then the servants were sent into the highways. And then the house was filled. And on the entrance they have received a wedding garment, that they may be clothed. And then the king has come, and the Lord has a people upon the earth that can be so exercised with that wedding garment. There can be souls exercised with a revealed Christ, but that they need the application, that they may be covered in that wedding garment. And that consists the same as that breastplate, justification, and sanctification. And then we have heard it. It's a parable. But that the king has come across one friend. "How art thou come hither without a wedding garment?" Thus can be deceit, building upon sandy foundations, speaks here of hypocrites. If we think of Judas, then undoubtedly, in the first part, the greatest part of the ministry of Christ, called to be an apostle, a disciple, received a special place, treasure, was sent out with the other disciples to preach, to cast out devils, has done wonders, and when there was a great following of Jesus, oh, then surely Judas thought it has to be right. Although, undoubtedly there were times that Judas, that there have come questions up in his heart, also under the preaching of his master, with everything that he has experienced, because we must not think, congregation, that souls that are deceiving themselves, that they never have troubles and never questions whether perhaps it is wrong. And more so, when they may hear the people of God tell of those clear leadings, how the Lord leads His people. Those 3 points, misery, deliverance, and gratitude, then also in the hearts of that people there can come unrest and many questions. But then many times they reason it out and they include themselves again. Thus, that does not mean that Judas, also under the preaching of Jesus, whether there was no unrest and no questions, whether perhaps it was all wrong. Because that Judas did not have what the other disciples have. But now at the end, then it became very clear after Judas has went to the Sanhedrin and agreed with 30 pieces of silver to betray his master. And then at the Passover, when Jesus has said that one of them would betray the master, and then the other disciples, they have said, "Lord, is it I?" They have become disappointed with themselves. And then after those other disciples, then Judas also said, "It is I." Then it is clear that he was playing the part of a hypocrite. Let us sing together of Psalter 38, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. They are to be desired above the finest gold than honey from the comb. More sweetness far they hold, with warnings they thy servant guard. And what follows? Psalter 38, 3, 4, and 5. the holy table of the Lord's Supper. The blasphemous heir, the invited guests, and now thirdly, the necessary watch. Concerning question and answer 81, then it concerned the heart. And we cannot look into the heart, but it is an open book before the Lord. Cannot judge the heart, but we are called upon. Many times we are accused that we are too judgmental. And I repeat it, we cannot look into the heart, but we may. And we are called to judge actions according to the Holy Word of God. And the instructors have spoken life and doctrine. So that is our speech, our confession, and our walk. Are they also to be admitted to this supper who by confession and life declare themselves unbelieving and ungodly? No, for by this the covenant of God would be profaned and his wrath kindled against the whole congregation. That is the greatest judgment that can come upon a people. And that not only refers to the Lord's Supper, but that refers to all of our lives. I read in Joshua 7 that Achan, you know that, boys and girls, he is taken from Jericho, stolen it, what he may not take. And then we read those solemn words in Joshua 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. And there was only one man, Achan, that is taken of the accursed thing. But it is written in the inspired word, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. And then the instructors have spoken of the wrath of the Lord that comes upon a people. And that is a terrible and a profound thing. When a people refuses to hearken to God's word, to admonitions, when they harden their heart, and then the wrath of God, what shall then take place? Then the separation between the world and the church becomes smaller, much compromising, that the Lord's restraining hand is removed, that he gives people over to the foolishness of their own thoughts, that it is not thus saith the Lord, but further, when the inner chambers become emptier, when there are few conversions, and when God's people become lean. What a solemn matter that the instructor is speaking of. Then we need to be much on our knees and to search the scriptures, walk accordingly, and beg the Lord with those travelers traveling to Emmaus, where it is written they constrained him and that they said, The day was far spent. The evening has come, and they have asked that Christ may abide with them. The necessity of the prayer of the bride, the Song of Solomon 4, verse 16, "Awake, O north wind, and blow, thou south wind, upon my garden, that the spices may flow forth. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat of his pleasant fruits." Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee and acknowledge thee, even when it is only with our lips, but that is also proper and fitting. But thou requires more, that thou wast given in other Lord's day, that we may come under thy word, and then at the end of another Lord's day, then we also need that blood for our official labors. Wilt thou remember us in the week that we have commenced, the mothers in the home, on the way, at work, school, wherever we are called to be. We commend unto thee the male members meeting tomorrow evening, where it pertains to a place of worship for the rostered people, and also expansion for our church. Wilt thou guide, wilt thou lead, wilt thou direct, may it be carried upon the wings of prayer. Remember when the mission board hopes to meet in another place. Wilt thou grant wisdom, understanding, and discretion, and may it be for the coming of thy kingdom. We commend unto thee the mother, the wife, that is scheduled for surgery. Thou knowest the fears and the concerns. Wilt thou guide the hand of the physician, may it be blessed. May the calling be sanctified. Wilt thou so grant a prayer for one another, Lord. Keep us from sin, harm, and danger. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Take us under thy good and kind care during the night watches. Remember the mothers with the children. May we awake refreshed for body and mind to see the light of another day. O Lord, work then mightily and lovingly by thy Spirit. Keep us from sin and world conformity, because we have heard of a wrath upon a people, and there is no more terrible thing when a people comes under thy just wrath. O Lord, work then lovingly, blow with the north wind and the south wind upon us and our children. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 384, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye does see. Wherever I rest, wherever I go, my ways are known to thee. And what follows, 384, 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.